Now, I want you to turn over a few pages to page 169 to see this coded chart, condemnation or justification, because I want you to get your mind working here a little bit. First of all, at the top of the page, the last half of the sentence says, Christ has already earned your right to live a powerful life free from condemnation forever. He's earned that right for you. Because now you are in Christ, you have that. Now, the two lists, condemnation or justification. Condemnation began with the tree. It was compounded with the giving of the law. It was exacerbated by the accuser of the brethren. It was further messed up by the flesh and our works, the inconsistency of them. Mm-hmm. Now that's a horrible way to live. On the right, our justification was birthed in the cross. What a contrast to the tree. And then grace, what a contrast to the law. Then the comforter, what a contrast to the accuser. The spirit, what a contrast to the flesh. Rest, what a contrast to the works. Now, do you see that? You've got to make that a philosophy of living for yourself. You've got to take that and turn it into a philosophy of life. The cross, grace, comfort, the spirit, and rest. Do you see that? When Paul said to those church members, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's exactly what he was saying. Christ's righteousness, his peace, joy in your hearts. Now fellowship on that basis. Stop fellowshipping on the basis of the cross and start fellowshipping on the basis of righteousness, peace, and joy in Christ. Do you see how big that is? It amazes me how many folks fellowship on the basis of their knowledge of the truth of good and evil. They do. If you look at that scripture, which we're not going to, righteousness, peace, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you will see that he's talking to church members about their communion together and about their unselfish living because of it. And yet how many families, how many churches live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they're always, isn't it funny? All you have to do is introduce the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and meanness comes out of man somehow. There's a meanness in him that comes out. You start spotting problems. They do. They start looking for issues and questions. They're always telling you something that's gone wrong somewhere. This is bad for you. This is cruel. This is ugly. This is not fair. Are you sure that's legal? And you know something? You get caught up in this vortex of the knowledge of good and evil. You say, but shouldn't you know good and evil? Frankly, no. Apparently, Adam and Eve didn't need it. Right. Apparently, when God made a perfect world, it was without that knowledge. Right. And apparently, in the spirit now, we get to live by his voice.
Hallelujah, that's it. That's the difference. Amen.
Now, for those who are there, well, what if? Let me tell you what to do with what if. Nail it back on the cross.
Amen.
Because we all know that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. That truth is the Word of God. So if your spirit inside you is telling you something contrary to the Word, we know you weren't listening to the Spirit. And may I remind you, the fellow who wrote more about love than anyone, John, spent some considerable time about identifying the Spirit by which you live in his epistles. He said, try the spirits, man. And any spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, buddy, you are listening to the wrong ghost.
That's it.
What a thing. It's the truth, isn't it?
It's true.
You know? So I'm not nervous about that.
Yes.
If you want to be a liar, see, I don't believe you should talk to Christians like that. That's insulting to us. We're not liars.
True.
We're not murderers. We're not rapists. We're not thieves. We are led by the Spirit of God in our hearts, and for the first time since we were saved, been able to get three breaths on the row that weren't gasping.
True.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I am forgetting that spray you use on weeds. What's that called? Roundup. I'm for putting Roundup to the roots of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And saying, why are we talking like this? Why are you so afraid of being wrong? You know, there are Christian people who are afraid. They're terrified of being wrong. And the earmarks aren't them always being right. God forbid that those guys are always right. They're even more wrong because whenever you're afraid of wrong, guess what you are most of the time? You've just hit the big Japanese hornet. And that's a horrible big striped thing that'll chase you down the street and kill you. No. People who are obsessed with being wrong and being right have totally missed the point of life. You know, they've got the gift of correction. Straighten everybody out. No, 4:15, not 4:12. The Lord Jesus, break your watch.
Exactly.
And that was a stupid example, but I'm going to give it to you. You can be driven mad trying to be right. Mm-hmm. What do you think the cross did for you? Wasn't the cross the rightest thing that ever happened?
Yeah, no.
Didn't the cross, like a black hole, absorb all wrong into it?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Didn't he eat up all shame and guilt and all sorrow and all regret?
Amen.
All pain, all agony, all sickness, all disease, all conflict, all accusation? I like this. Wasn't the accuser of the brethren thrown out of God's presence? What a happy day. Tumble, tumble, tumble. Down to earth he came, miffed off. But you don't have to listen to him. You can try the spirits and say, you know something? That tree is no longer planted in my life.
That's right.
And anybody who's fixating on right and wrong needs a good brand new look at the cross, mm-hmm. which is a better tree.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's a better tree. We need to repent from living under the umbrella of the tree of condemnation, the tree of right and wrong, good and bad.